Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Conscious Cool Chic Radio. My name is Molly McCord and I'm delighted you are here today. ConsciousCoolChic.com is a convergent zone of wisdom for anyone interested in expanding their consciousness. I am a consciousness catalyst playing the roles of astrologer, author, intuitive, messenger, and teacher. With insights from spiritual guidance, I share with you consciousness-raising information that benefits and inspires our journeys as human beings. Essentially, that means I take spiritual information and make it practical, understandable, and fun to incorporate in the real world. The first half of the show covers topics related to consciousness and spirituality, and the second half of the show is focused on astrology. We will look at the main astrological energies happening right now, and I invite you to grab your astrological chart to see which areas of your life are being highlighted at this time. And as always, free ebooks, workshops, and inspiring information can be found on the website, ConsciousCoolChic.com. Thanks for being here. Let's get started with today's show.
Hello, everybody. Welcome. It is March 13th, 2013. This is Molly McCord of ConsciousCoolChic.com, the popular spirituality website, and I am grateful for your energetic presence during the show today. Thank you. Thank you for being here. You have a lot of choices in how to spend your energy and what to do with your time, and I really appreciate that you're connected to this information and that you're choosing to energetically be here. It means a lot, and I appreciate you. I hear from many of you on Facebook, Twitter, and through the website that this information is helping you, and that is what it's all about, because I know you are powerful and you have everything you need, and if I can in any way spark that up for you, then I give that two thumbs up. So today's show is going to do that. We're talking about heart consciousness. What is heart consciousness? There are three energetic levels of heart consciousness. I'm going to go through each one of those, and I feel very strongly that as I do that, for many, many, many of you, things are going to click about relationships, about yourself, about people in your life. A lot of aha moments have the ability to arrive just in this 1 hour. So that is my intention, and I trust and have faith that it will connect with you exactly where you are. For the astrology segment of our show, we're going to be talking about the energy of Pisces, because the previous full new moon on March 11th had seven planets in Pisces, including all of the personal planets. Now, this is significant. It's been 2 days since this new moon occurred, and so now we have five planets in Pisces, but it's still significant energetically, and I'm going to talk about that. I'm going to also go through every single astrological house so that you can determine for yourself where this energy is showing up. So I encourage you to grab your astrology chart. If you don't have one, you can get one for free on astro.com, and you can come back and listen to this show again and hear what the houses mean and what this energy of Pisces means specifically for you. We do that segment in the second half of the show. A few announcements before we get going here. I have been on vacation. If you are new to the show and you listened to some previous episodes over the past week or so and you wondered why I was referencing maybe October or November, it's because I was re-airing some popular episodes. So that is why some of those shows were out of date in terms of a calendar timeline, but energetically, they're never out of date. So I had those replaying so that I could take a break and be offline, and wow, it was wonderful. It was a great, great vacation. So I'm happy to be back and getting back into the saddle here with everything that's going on. I want to let you know that starting next Thursday, March 21st, we are going to begin our weekly gatherings around Atlantis and Lemurian activation. Now, this is something I've been talking about for a while now, and if you are drawn to Atlantis, Lemuria, any of those, either of those cultures, you might really want to check out this weekly gathering. We're going to be meeting online and connecting, activating, sharing galactic information. This is going to be a separate space. It's more of a protected, private space. This show is spiritually based, but that gathering is galactically based. Do you see what I mean? There's a difference there. So we're expanding together, and we're going to be talking about Atlantis, Lemuria, what we are here to do on the planet now based on those cellular memories and those experiences that are in our DNA. And we're going to connect with each other about that energy. So I hope you will join me for that. Wow, just as I was speaking about it, I started getting lightheaded because there's so much energy around these topics. So please sign up if you'd like to be there. We have tons of people signing up. It's been wonderful. Thank you. I'm excited to connect with all of you. Also today, March 13th, we're doing another promotion for this new best-selling book that I am a contributor to. I am a part of The Thought That Changed My Life Forever. It is a new book out. It's already a bestseller in motivation, new thought, and personal transformation. Today, we're offering over 1,000 free gifts when you buy the book. And I am excited to be a part of those free gifts because it includes a free copy of my upcoming memoir called My Life as a Trapeze Artist. You can get a free sneak peek at mylifeasatrapezeartist.com. It's going to be coming out in May, and I'm excited. I'm really excited. I'm also a little nervous. I'll be honest with you. I'm a little nervous. But that free copy is available to you now on the website. So that is something you should check out, mylifeasatrapezeartist.com. And then today only you get over 1,000 free gifts with the purchase of The Thought That Changed My Life Forever. And you can find out more about that at thethought.com thethoughtpublications.com if you want to click on over and check it out. Now, next week on the show, March 20th, we are going to have the one and only Karen Hager. She is a psychic and a channel and just a really lovely person. I have a good time talking with Karen because she has a very effervescent personality. She's very wise. She has lots of great insights to share, and she does a lot of regular programs that I think you might enjoy. So I'm delighted that she's going to be here speaking with us on March 20th. Tune into that. And then a heads up for the April 3rd show. I am also excited to have this guest here. His name is Rick DiClemente. He is an intuitive astrologer. He writes on ohmtimes.com, and he has a lot of great insights. He's one of these astrologers that I feel a kinship with, that I just love speaking with because we have a very similar understanding and philosophy about astrology. So if you connect and enjoy what I offer, I think you're really going to enjoy Rick. I learned from him. I feel he has good information, and I'm excited that he'll be here. You can check out his information now at starself.com, starself.com, and he does a monthly newsletter with some good information. So that is what's coming up on the show, my friends. And now we're going to dive into today's show. What is heart consciousness? Now, there are many ways to approach this, and I like things simple. I like them easy to understand, that gets to the heart of the matter, and it's easy to explain and communicate. That's key. So for this topic, I was so excited to receive from my spiritual guidance the three levels of heart energy. I received some tips and insights about each one and then how they all work together. So here we go. We're going to start with the first level of heart energy, which is probably one that you've got figured out, and that is the physical heart. Our physical, beating, pumping heart is an energy source. It's a central organ in the body that keeps us alive breath by breath. Yes, I am stating the obvious. Thank you. Thank you for letting me do that. But the physical heart is really important because it allows us to exist in physical form. Without the heart, we aren't here. The heart is what keeps us grounded to the earth, keeps us in physical form, keeps us moving and grooving and doing everything we need to do to fulfill our life missions, to follow our dreams, to be present here. The physical heart is crucial for everything that it does in that regard. And so the physical heart is the first level of heart energy. Now, I'm going to reference this as we move through the other two levels, but we have to start with the basic one here. It's that we need our heart to support us, to keep us regulated, to keep that in-breath, that out-breath going, to keep a steady rhythm in our lives. So the heart is more than just something we say in terms of, oh, I heart you, or you have my heart, or you're attached to my heartstrings. The physical heart is where we need to direct a lot of healthy energy. I'm going to give you some examples as we move through this. Now, the second level of heart energy is called the low heart energy. Now, I realize that saying low heart can signify that it's lesser than, lower on the scale, and I don't mean it that way, but you'll understand what I mean. The low heart is where we experience our emotional energy, okay? This is where we have everything that happens from being in love to being in pain to feeling joy to feeling sadness. It's the low heart that is our place of feeling. It's our connection to our feelings. And we have come to associate the heart, especially in mass consciousness, with emotional expression and release. And this is very valuable. I'm not saying it isn't, but it's very valuable because being connected to our heart, to this part of the energy field, is what keeps us in the present moment. So think about it this way. When you are in love with someone, you're in the present moment. When you are feeling sadness or despair or any of those lower vibe energies, that's also in the present. And what is associated with the lower heart is that these are your fluid emotions. These are the parts that ebb and flow and come and go. It's also the part of us where we receive instant messages. The lower heart energy field is where we can sense something right away, because when we are in the present, when we are fully and completely right here, right now, we receive instant messages just like that. And that's because of the energy in our lower heart. The other thing about the lower heart is that because we are in the present and in the moment, it keeps our responses fluid and it keeps our reactions fluid. So if you have a good day, you feel peaceful and relaxed. If you have a hard day, you may be upset, tired, frustrated, or triggered on deeper levels. The low heart is where energy is always moving in and out, and it's subject to change based on external circumstances. So here's a connection for you. In the United States, heart disease is one of the main ways people experience lack of energy movement in their lower heart. This is where, when we shut down our heart's energy, when we don't allow our feelings to flow or our emotions to move, our lower heart doesn't experience the stretching and bending and expansion and constriction that it is supposed to experience. Okay? When we think about this way, when we hold ourselves so stiff and guarded that we don't allow anything to move in and out, we are restricting the abilities of our heart. It's like we're taking away 90% of its skills. And that is the ego mind showing up and stepping in and saying, no, I'm not going to feel sadness. I'm not going to go into despair. I'm not going to stretch and feel the joy of this situation. I'm just going to stay right here and not move. This is an energetic stagnation. And it is so common in our culture right now that people have unconsciously shut down their hearts, shut down their ability to feel and to express themselves. And this is why heart disease is one of the main ways that people can eventually connect with the abilities of their heart, meaning heart disease is a reflection of energetic stagnation, as well as heart attacks, heart transplants, bypass surgeries. Any kind of physical operation or physical disease associated with the heart is a reflection of an inability to let the heart's natural skills and movements occur. Okay? So in a sense, the physical heart has absorbed the stagnant emotions and literally starts to reach its breaking point. Because no movement has been allowed and no movement has occurred, the physical heart starts to shut down, starts to collapse. It's not able to do and live its full potential. This could be because feelings and emotions haven't been acknowledged, processed, or energetically moved through the body. So, and if you are familiar with how energy works, you probably understand this connection very well. If you are new to how energy dynamics work in the physical body, well, welcome to a whole new world of understanding, because energy, everything is energy. And when we are not moving and processing energy in one way, it shows up in another way. So what we're talking about here is how energy that is not fluid, emotional energy, feelings, anything that isn't fluid, that hasn't moved through the heart, will get stagnant somewhere else. And I want to relate something else to this area, this second level of the low heart. The heart is surrounded by the lungs and the diaphragm. When there is a buildup of emotions, this is the physical space where we feel constriction, tightness, or shortness of breath. It's in the lungs. Okay? It's where we have compressed ourselves. It's where we aren't fully going, you know, we aren't taking those really intentional deep breaths that support our heart health, that support our emotional release. And because of this, this is why smoking was so popular and welcomed by mass consciousness back in the previous century. Smoking offered a form of release that supported deeper breathing. That is the energetic experience of smoking. It requires you to inhale and then exhale. So we can look at it as, yes, the addictive quality of tobacco was also a factor in how smoking was a fad and became very popular and addictive because of the tobacco, right? But it's very important to point out that people did not start smoking because of tobacco. They continued smoking because of tobacco. You see what I mean? They started smoking because on some level they needed to have that deep expression and experience in their lungs of fresh air. But they continued smoking because of tobacco. So I want to make that distinction. And then taking it a step forward, yoga came on the scene and became very popular here in the Western culture. It's been practiced for centuries in Eastern cultures, but it became very popular in Western culture. What was that, the late 90s, early 2000s? And so what do yoga and smoking have in common? The breath. They're both forms of breathing, of requiring us to inhale deeply and exhale deeply, a focus on what our body needs. There are different intentions with smoking and yoga, obviously, and different levels of consciousness, different levels of energy around each action. So one action nurtures the lungs, heart, and mind, while the other becomes an unconscious habit that slowly suffocates the breath and the heart through addiction. We connect it to addiction. Addiction, one reason that addictions occur is a disconnection from feeling in control and powerful. from owning our power, from being who you are, from looking at who you really are, the strength and power of you. Addiction is one habit that shows up as a distraction from the truth of who you are. So getting back here to the low heart energy. The low heart is about moving our emotions and feelings, and it's connected to that first level of the physical heart. The lower heart energies of every feeling supports the physical heart's ability to perform its functions. And yoga, as a practice, has gifted humanity with greater connection to the release, the peacefulness, being present, to moving emotions. You know, talk to anyone who's had an amazing yoga session, and they are probably feeling on top of the world and very present in their physical body, and that's because they have taken in intentional breath and they have nourished their heart. Also, deep breathing will move lower energies out of the body, and it will prevent stagnation and being stuck. And this connects to how we can recognize our feelings on a daily level so that they don't get stuck, they don't stay stagnant. We connect our feelings to right here, right now. We move it through, and it supports our experience of life. We need the experience of our emotions and our feelings. Now, it's important to recognize when they are coming from the ego mind, when they are lower vibe, when they are high vibe. You know, it's important to know that there are different experiences and emotions out there that we have, obviously. But it's important not to judge them. Now, think about when you laugh. When you laugh, you just laugh, you smile, you burst forth with energy, you're happy. It's awesome to laugh, right? And we just do it. Now think about that same experience with crying. When you cry, do you just let it flow and let it go and just release and let it happen? Or do you stop yourself and say, I'm stronger than this, I shouldn't cry, I shouldn't have to do this, I'm going to not do this, you know, at that moment when you try and stop it is when you're judging it. Crying is as natural as laughing. And when we allow ourselves the full experience of these abilities, we are supporting ourselves, we are staying in the present moment, we are connecting to our truth, and we are nourishing our heart and our basic needs. So the low heart energy is central and important to right now, right here, who you are in every moment of your life. It is where you will experience incredible aha moments about yourself, about other people. It's where you will connect with the truth of your needs. If you're ever wondering what you need in this situation, check in with your feelings. Check in with what you are experiencing. And all that information comes to you through the low heart. So that's the second level. Now we're going to move to the third level of heart energy, of heart consciousness, and this is called the high heart. Now again, like I stated with the low heart, it sounds like, oh, it's the high heart, so it's better than, or it's more important, and I should focus on this energy more. And again, that's when we start going into judgment. It isn't about being better than or more valuable. It's just a different energy. So the high heart is where energy exists permanently in the states of love, compassion, forgiveness, peace, trust, faith. That is high heart energy. It is consistent. It does not waver based on a conversation, on relationship changes. It does not change based on external circumstances or events. The high heart sees how everything is happening in the most perfect way at all times, regardless of how we feel. So this is why it's different than the lower heart energy. The low heart energy keeps us in the moment, keeps us connected to who we are in our feeling state, And the high heart takes us to that next level, that even if I'm having a tough day, I know everything is perfect right now. Even though this person says something really crappy to me, I am still connected to peace within myself, regardless of anything else. This is your high heart energy. Every single person has it. Every single person is connected to it, but many people don't know it. They're not aware of it. And so when we connect to that high heart energy, we are elevating above and beyond the mind's perspective. We are moving up, up, up into a higher place of divine perspective, an amazing cosmic connection. And we know that everything is perfect right now, that how you feel is perfect right now, that what you are experiencing is so divine. It's also where we are able to let go and release emotions that we don't want to take forward into the next moment. So when I'm feeling fear around something, I can look at that fear. I can sit down on the couch and have a conversation with it. If I'm feeling sadness, I can go for a walk and just say, I'm sad right now, and I don't know why, and I don't know how, but it's just how I feel. And then I come back home, and I walk in the door, and the sadness is gone, and I think, even if that's how I felt 30 minutes ago, everything is still divine and perfect. This is your high heart, my friends. This is a part of the journey that is so amazing and so incredible. We always have access to it. We are always connected to the high heart perspective. It's where we rise above anger and grief and pain. It's where we get away from resentment and disappointment, all of those things. And let me restate again that all of those feelings are valid and are completely fine. We don't have to judge them or label them, just like we don't need to judge crying, just like we don't judge laughing. We just accept them as is, and then we move above them, knowing that all is divine and all is perfect as is. The high heart, I see it above our heads. It might be cloudy to see it days, meaning you might not always connect to it. It might feel like the sun is not shining on me today, or it could feel like there is only sunshine today and I feel glorious. The high heart energy is like angels circling all over the globe all the time, dancing and laughing and singing and infusing us with high energy, high movements, high spirits. This is always available to us, but we have to choose it. We have to choose to connect to this energy. It is always there. Regardless of external circumstances, regardless of your current fears right now, I'm hearing from many people that money is a fear. Well, think of it this way. Who is the source of your financial abundance? If you said a person, your boss, a certain position, a certain job, a certain company, I would invite you to look up into the high heart energy and to see that there is abundance of everything. You have always been taken care of. You have always had food to eat. You have always had a shelter over your head. You have always had what you needed. And when we connect to the understanding that source energy is our financial abundance, we can release our expectations and attachments to anything else. I didn't plan on talking about this on the show, but I'm feeling how important it is right now. Your financial abundance is through you and your connection to high heart energy. That is it, my friends. That is the arrow to the target. That is exactly what it is. Focus on that when you feel any of your fears come up around money, finances, anything related to this area. Wow, it's really strong right now. So please know that. Please lift your chin up and see it as being higher than what you can see immediately in your environment. And know that the high heart energy of abundance, prosperity, wealth is you. You are that energy, and that energy is you. It's never disconnected from you, but you have to willingly and intentionally connect to it from your side. If you have not felt that connection before, it's because you haven't asked for it. So you need to ask for it. You need to demand it and say it and affirm it. And what usually happens for most people is that after you do that, all your fears come up. And you say, oh my gosh, what if I don't have this in my bank account? Or what if I lose everything? Or what if this doesn't happen? Or you know, on and on. Our mind is wonderful at coming up with these worst case scenarios. And this is where you process those fears, release those fears. I will be honest with you. It could be soul wounds, soul agreements. There could be some big karma here around money. There could be some things you're working out and fulfilling. So follow those paths and trust yourself to where you need to go with it. But keep in mind that wealth, abundance, prosperity, financial security, financial flow, being a conduit of wealth is you. And you are that energy. So it's always available to you. The work might be there, work might be required, but it's there. Okay, I'm feeling some things shift here, and I'm going to let that sit. That was a little tangent off of what I had been meaning to share with you, but I completely trust it because I know that there's many people who are looking for those affirmations and good thoughts around money right now. So we just spoke about the high heart energy and how the high heart is the state of love, compassion, forgiveness, peace, everything glorious and beautiful and uplifting, and it just stays there. It stays in that space. It doesn't sink down into those lower levels because it doesn't need to. That's not its purpose. But it does interact and work with the other heart energies, the other two levels. Just a moment. Thank you. I had to take a quick drink of water. The heart consciousness energy works with the physical heart and the low heart. The heart consciousness, the high heart consciousness is your grander perspective to anything in this present moment, like I just described. So it's how you can feel your feelings and then elevate above them. It's how you can stay in your physical self and connect to trust, connect to faith, know that you will get things figured out, that you will know everything is happening as it should. It's where you will retain wonderful feelings about yourself and your physical experience. The high heart supports the physical heart energetically. It allows us to breathe deeply, to appreciate our breath, to honor our heart and its functions and all it can do, as well as honor our body and all it is capable of doing. So the high heart is going to be supportive of you in every way, just as the physical heart is supportive of your physical body, and the lower heart is supportive of your ability to feel and to release and to be in the present moment. Now, all of these are important to work together, and this is how we experience and live from heart consciousness. It's all three energetic levels coinciding, working together, supporting each other, nourishing each other, knowing that there's a place for each one. Now, I have witnessed and seen some spiritual teachers who are so caught up in the high heart energies that they disregard emotions and write it off as part of the ego mind or lower stuff, or we don't have to go there. You can just stay above it. And I bring out my white flag and say, no, that's not true. You need your emotions right now. that keep you in the present. You can't avoid your emotions or your feelings. We have them for a reason. We have feelings because they tell us our truth. We have emotions because they give us instant feedback about something. All of this exists for a reason. So keep an eye out for information you witness and receive that doesn't honor that part of you. And instead, honor that part of you. Honor your feelings. Honor your emotions. Honor everything about your experience. And that is what it means to experience and live from heart consciousness. It's where you see it all as beautiful. So the physical heart keeps us alive. The lower heart keeps us in the moment. And the higher heart provides constant love from a higher perspective. What a beautiful system. I just think it's wonderful, and I feel it. Maybe you feel it too. It feels so comforting to me that we have all of these abilities within our experience to enjoy and work with. If you take away any of the one component, there is a lack of an essential energy and the disconnection from the full heart experience, right? We take away the physical heart, we're no longer alive. We take away the lower heart, we're no longer in the moment. We're no longer feeling ourselves. We're no longer honoring our emotions. We take away the higher heart, we lose our connection to love, trust, and faith. So we need all three. We need to honor all three. And we need to honor ourselves as we experience all three. So I want to also point out that, as I mentioned earlier, some people go all the way to love, light, and bliss right away in any situation. Like they're really mad or they're upset with someone and they go right to love, light, and bliss. I forgive them. I wish them well. Namaste. Right? It's like a run-on sentence with no spaces. You just want to say all that and you want everything to be fine. Well, let me tell you, that doesn't work. You can't take those shortcuts because when you do that, you are dishonoring your feelings and your needs. If you want to really move through something, you have to go to that present moment and look at your feelings and say, okay, this person said something kind of rude to me or kind of rubbed me the wrong way and I didn't like what it was. I didn't like that conversation or I didn't like that experience with them and I'm upset. I don't like it, and this is it's how I feel. I feel anger right now, or I feel pain, you know, whatever it is that you're feeling. Claim it, and just say, I feel kind of crummy right now about this interaction with this person. Give yourself an hour to go for a walk, to journal, to be creative, to write about it. Maybe it's longer than that. Maybe it's a day you need. Maybe it's 2 weeks. Whatever is right for you, but give yourself space to honor those feelings. And what I would also recommend is say, you know, I feel really crappy about this and I'm not happy about how, you know, that conversation went or what that person said to me, but I'm going to feel what I need to feel and I'm going to trust that I'm going to get on the other side of it. I trust that I will be standing on the other side of this emotion and this experience in the most divine way. So what you're doing right there is you're claiming your truth. You're claiming your feelings and your emotions, and then you're connecting it to that high heart energy of something perfect is happening here. I'm getting information about myself. That is one of the gifts of the lower heart energy, is that you will receive information about you. What is the pattern? What is the pattern for you? Do you often feel annoyed at people? Are you often critical of them? Are you often feeling anger or disappointment in others? You know, what is the pattern? What are you realizing comes up continuously for you? And that information is gold, my friend. That is going to show you exactly what you're ready to work on and to move through. Now, this can take some deeper work. It often does. Again, it can be related to karma, soul wounds, a variety of different energies. So trust yourself and follow where you need to go to release it. But honor this part of you. honor it. I can tell you, and I mentioned this in other shows, there are no shortcuts, and you don't get around it. And if there was a shortcut, I would sell it to you right now for $99.99 plus shipping and handling. I would be a millionaire if I could sell you the shortcuts to these types of energies. There aren't shortcuts. But there is a ton of self-respect, self-trust, and honor of self when you walk through this path and when you walk through these emotions. So let's activate some of these energies right now, and then we're going to move into the astrology section of the show. And I just received a little heads up from my guidance. I forgot something. I forgot to tell you. This is important. You are activating these energies within yourself. That doesn't mean other people have them active. And you might now notice other people in your life who have heart energy that's closed down. Their heart is closed. They are not feeling, and that could be part of their experience in this lifetime. They might have willingly said, I'm not going to have an emotional experience throughout my life. I'm going to be very cerebral and intelligent and focus on those qualities. So what I'm saying is that not everyone is here to live with their heart energy open. But if you are, and if you are choosing that, it is up to you to find others who are doing that as well and to honor that. So you might find people who are not connected to their emotional center and they're not connected to feelings. And if you're in a relationship with that person, there could be a lot of struggles. Meaning your heart is open and theirs is closed, and you can find yourself circling in discontent or expectations or attachments. You could be wishing that they would open up. You could be waiting for them to open up. You could be hoping and praying and doing all kinds of things for them to open their heart consciousness, to open up their heart energy. And I have to tell you that this could be a waste of your time, because each person makes the decision about their life experience, and with their free will, they decide what they want to do. So if you have a romantic partner who is, you feel their heart is closed down, what you want to do is see how quickly you can accept that, and then decide what is best for you to do next with the relationship. And this is so individual and so personalized that I can't even say much more other than it's highly possible that there are people whose hearts are shut down and you're not going to connect to them at this level. Likewise, there are people who have no interest in connecting to high heart energies because maybe they can't see it, they can't touch it, they don't care, it's not important to them. That's also a personal choice. So you might have people who are very present in the moment with their emotions and feelings, and that's where they want to stay. They don't want to take it higher. They don't want to believe that something perfect is happening right now. They don't want to see the good in everything, or they don't want to connect to a bigger understanding. They might feel very safe and secure and protected in their feelings and emotions to the point where it's all they want in their experience. We see this to people who are very attached to their stories. Oftentimes, it is a victim-based story, and it could be highly unconscious. I see a lot of victim-based stories in reality TV shows, especially groups. And specifically groups of women who will say, oh, she always says this to me, or she always says this to me, or they always pick on me. And, you know, it circles around in all this victim-based consciousness, and there's no connection to the higher heart energy or understanding of why this pattern is happening in your life or why this is perfect, what it's teaching you, what you're learning. So keep an eye out, too, for people who are very connected to their low heart energy and don't want to take it any higher or any further. Then you decide what's right for you, of course, right? you decide what that relationship means for you. Understanding these three levels of heart energy is essential to understanding how to get the most from your relationship. And the number one relationship you will have in your life is, can you say it with me? It's with yourself. It's with you. Number one relationship you will have in your life is with you. And that is where you focus your energy. That is where you have power. And that is where you connect to everything that you are. In your relationships, you could even look back. So depending on where you are in your journey, if you were to look back to high school, to college, to your 20s, to your 30s, to your 40s, who did you date or interact with? And now you realize that relationship didn't go forward because their heart wasn't open or your heart wasn't open. Maybe your heart wasn't open at that time. So that's something to think about, is to see how far you've come on your journey and to look at how you've expanded your heart energy and to also get some understanding around other people in your life and why those relationships ended. Relationships end because the energy doesn't match anymore. That's all it is. And it's incredibly simplistic and we make it very complicated, but that's why relationships run their course when there is no energy that matches up. Now, what's different about these relationships is family, because we can't just end our family relationships in the same way we can break up with the boyfriend from last week. Family is our greatest, they are our greatest gifts, they're our greatest insights, and our greatest teachers. Your parents are some of your greatest teachers. Your family members are your greatest teachers. And it could just be that they're teaching you more about yourself. They're teaching you more about your programming, your habits, your beliefs. And they're giving you opportunities to touch yourself in new ways. Okay, I know that sentence did not sound great. But what I mean is like to touch your heart in new ways, to open it up in new ways. So I really want to call that out, that family is key to working with our heart consciousness, because if you can connect to the understanding that everything is perfect in these relationships, even if you can't see it, even if you don't feel it, everything is perfect. Wow, it's a release point. It's a huge release point. It releases the struggle or the uncertainty or the spinning, which we can do, right? If you have a lot of mental energy, you can spin in a scenario or a situation or a conversation. You can spin in it. Connecting it to the high heart energy is going to give you that release valve. It's going to let you willingly and consciously say, this is awesome. It's perfect. I chose this for a beautiful purpose. I don't know what that is, maybe, but I trust it. I believe that if we do that more regularly, things will shift monumentally in our lives. If you can connect every relationship to high heart energy, even if you don't know why, even if a part of you doesn't want to, or you know, you feel like it's not going to do anything, if you can just take the steps to connect it to high heart energy, my friend, it can change things significantly in your life. And I say that because I've done it. And I say that with my whole heart, and I'm getting a little teary-eyed about it because I've done a lot of my personal work around high heart energy and connecting to the highest possible perfection in relationships. My ego didn't want to do that. My mind said, never mind that idea. There's a part of me that didn't want to go there. But I kept coming back to it, and I did it. And it made all the difference in practically any relationship where I wasn't sure what was going on. It shifted it for me, and I felt that I had new energies to work with as a result, meaning it shifted everything that I was stuck in and elevated me to a new place of understanding. That also meant that some of those relationships then had to end. it was just over, right? I learned what I needed to learn. It was complete. It was done. So much love, forgiveness, gratitude, awesomeness for that person and their role in my life, but also those same feelings for myself. So much love for myself, gratitude, forgiveness, trust, faith, courage for myself. And that is why these relationships are important, is because we bring them back to who we are and we get powered up by our own healing and our own growth. So let's get to those activation energies that I mentioned before I started talking about relationships. Let's activate the level one physical heart. Okay? So repeat after me. I choose to honor, nurture, and appreciate my physical heart for taking care of my body and breath. I allow the flow. I'm going to say it again. I choose to honor, nurture, and appreciate my physical heart for taking care of my body and breath. I allow the flow. The level two energy of the low heart. I choose to honor my feelings, instincts, emotions, and gut reactions as signals about my energy at this present moment. I am the flow. One more time. I choose to honor my feelings, instincts, emotions, and gut reactions as signals about my energy at this present moment. I am the flow. Okay. The final level, the high heart energy. I choose to elevate every feeling, relationship, situation, and thought up to a higher perspective that all is well and all is in divine order at all times. I receive the flow. Okay, one more time. I choose to elevate every feeling, relationship, situation, and thought up to the higher perspective that all is well and all is in divine order at all times. I receive the flow. Let's breathe in, out, again, in, out. One more time. And out. Okay. Okay, great. Wonderful. Well, there's a lot of information covered. This is all channeled information. And if you've listened to the show before, you know that I'm very direct with channeled information. I'm conscious. I'm here. I'm alive. I'm saying it as it comes in, and I don't go into a trance or anything. I used to think that was really cool, but I that's just how I share. So if you found information in here that was very interesting and you want to listen again, please feel free to do so. That's one of the reasons I love Blog Talk Radio. You can download this episode. You can keep it handy. You can listen to it as many times as you need to work with these energies in the highest possible way for you. Now, we have spent almost an hour on this topic, which I think is perfect. And so I've extended the show half an hour so we can talk about the astrology section next. I'm not going to cut that out. So the astrology segment is coming up soon. Let's take a quick break, and I'll be right back. Thank you. We're back. That was Katrina and the Waves, Walking on Sunshine, one of my favorite songs. I hope you connected with that. It feels very uplifting to me. It just makes me happy. I can listen to it over and over again. I hit replay on my iPod for that one. So now we're shifting into astrology. And I encourage you to grab your astrology chart because we're going to be talking about Pisces energy. And I want to call out and look at where that energy is showing up for you in your chart, okay? We're going to look at Pisces energy in, let's see, it's been between 3 degrees to 29 degrees. Now, I'm going to go back 2 days and talk about the new moon on March 11th. Does not matter when you're listening to this. You could be listening to this show in June 2013. You could be listening to it sometime in 2014. I'm still going to reference this March 11th, 2013 new moon because it was significant. 7 planets were in Pisces. Very rare. All of the personal planets were in Pisces. The moon, the sun, Mars, Mercury, Venus, plus Neptune and Chiron. This energy together is signifying a huge shift in humanity's understanding around being a human being. We are shifting into our fuller understanding of being spiritual beings. And this new moon kickstarted a lot of energy, a whole new cycle of energy that we're going to feel for years. It was that powerful. And so that's why I want to call out Pisces degrees in your chart. So we're looking at the glyph for Pisces. Looks like, let's see, you can probably see it. You can see it if you're looking at the Blog Talk Radio show. Okay, I'm trying to think of how you can find this in your chart. Google Pisces, because every chart does it a little differently, but you can see how there are two arms there, two legs, two fishes, okay? That's the symbol. And one is, it's related to as above, so below, as within, so without. Pisces is about connecting the dimensions and connecting the world. So we are focused on our experience as being in physical form, but having a spiritual experience and spiritual understanding of ourselves. Pisces elevates us above. It connects us to the all that is, to source energy, to everything that we can't see. The Pisces part of our experience is connected as well, in its highest form, to the high heart experience. That's why I wanted to make sure and talk about it in this show, is that everything we just talked about with high heart energy is also related to Pisces in its highest and best form. This is where we understand that we are all connected to each other, that everything is in divine order, that we can be compassionate, loving, forgiving, acting in faith and in trust at all times, regardless of what the external world is showing us. Since Neptune entered Pisces in February 2011, that's important, the past 2 years, think about how your spiritual journey has unfolded over the past few years. What new people have you met? What new healers, new authors, new experiences? What new spiritual tools have you tried? What has come into your awareness in the past 2 years? I want to call that out because it's going to continue. And this new moon is accentuating it. Even if you don't see it, it doesn't mean that something happened on that day. It doesn't mean that something's going to happen in your life. It just means that this energy is now ever present, even stronger than before, and you can call on it at any time and connect to it at any time, just like the high heart energy. So earlier in the show, when I talked about the high heart energy, I talked about how it is about all those qualities, love, forgiveness, compassion, and those are the high vibe experiences of Pisces. But I want to also mention the other extreme of Pisces energy, because we're going to also see this showing up in people who aren't connecting to those energies or who are making very unconscious choices. Lower extremes of Pisces energy includes addiction, includes escapism, idealism, fantasy, being above everything. Like, there could be an arrogance with the Pisces stuff, you know, like, oh, I'm not going to touch that. I don't need to go there. I'm above it all. You can try and avoid things with Pisces energy. You don't want to spend your time doing it, or you'd rather drift away and drift off and go somewhere else. It can show up as being irresponsible and undisciplined. Another low vibe of Pisces energy is a feeling like a victim, feeling like everything is happening to me, I'm powerless, I'm overwhelmed, I can't deal with this, I can't do it, I don't know. And this can be about a Pisces not seeing themselves clearly, their self-identity could be wavering, and they don't see their role in a situation. And that could be related to the other reasons I just listed, the addictions, escapism, fantasy. But it could be about, oh, I'm just caught up in the higher perspective that all will be well. So the Pisces thing can make you drift off and away and literally be sitting in the middle of the ocean by yourself and not dealing with reality. Related to this, interestingly, when I was away on my vacation, the movie that was shown on the airplane was Life of Pi. That is an excellent movie by itself, and it was a great book. But that demonstrates some of the Piscean themes, okay? So if you're looking for something to help connect with Piscean themes, Life of Pi is great, and I think it's great that it's called Life of Pi because you could say Life of Pisces. But there's some nice themes there that reiterate the Pisces experience. Now, what we want to do is we want to look at the best and highest ways that you can use all of this Pisces energy that's been going on. So take a look at your chart, your astrology chart, and you want to find the glyph for Pisces, which could look like two fishes swimming in opposite direction. It could, like I said, you should Google it because there could be a few ways it shows up. And you want to find the place in your chart where it's 3 degrees of Pisces to 29 degrees of Pisces. And that's because 3 degrees of Pisces is where Neptune currently is, and 29 degrees of Pisces is where Mars was. Mars is not there anymore, but that's the energy that came in on March 11th. This is where we get activated. Now, what's interesting is that any planet at 29 degrees is at that last final breath of that astrological sign. And then it's over. But what's fascinating about 29 degrees of Pisces is that it's the end of the full zodiac. Then we move forward into 0 degrees of Aries. So when it's at 29 degrees of Pisces, something is ending. It's complete. It's lived its purpose. With Mars there, I feel it strongly for many of us globally as it's the end of a part of our ego. Mars energy is associated with ego, with how we go to war about something or how we fight for something, how we go for what we want. And there's a part of that that's ending so that we can begin a new cycle of going for what we want based on a higher energy. So that's one of the themes right now. Like I said, Mars is not there anymore, but it was part of that energetic imprint that came in with the new moon. So after you've located 3 degrees of Pisces to 29 degrees of Pisces, I'm going to go through what each of the houses signify. You could have these degrees in one house, 2 houses, or up to 3 houses in your chart. For example, I have a Gemini in my chart is in 3 houses. So it extends because there's one house that's smaller, so it extends up into the 3rd house. So just so you know, it could stretch beyond just one house in your astrology chart. So we're going to check out where this is showing up for you, and here's what you're going to be looking for. Wherever all this Pisces energy shows up, it's where you are dissolving away a part of your egoic experience and allowing your higher self to guide the journey. There's a big letting go factor with Pisces because you're connecting to the understanding that everything is perfect, and because everything is perfect, I can release it and let it go. There's huge trust. There's huge faith. There's these things that are intangible. And the ego mind is going to want proof. It's going to want to see it and touch it and talk about it and know it. Pisces is the opposite of Virgo energy. If you have strong Virgo energy in your chart, Virgo energy requires proof, evidence. It wants to keep things simple, efficient. There should be a process. There should be perfection. You know, these are the human level pursuits of Virgo energy. Pisces energy is the opposite. It's saying, no. It's all letting go. It's all going to be fine. The process is the journey. And, you know, it could be simple and it could get messy, but it's all going to dissolve and get and become something more beautiful than you can ever imagine. So keep that in mind that if you have strong Virgo energy, you could be struggling a bit with this stuff. I mean, you could find it hard to grasp onto some of these non-linear themes. Same is true if you have a lot of Gemini in your chart or a lot of Sagittarius. Gemini rules our mental abilities, our communication, how we relate to other people, how we talk about things. It's about data and numbers and all these facts. And Pisces isn't about any of that. Pisces is like, that doesn't matter anyways. None of that matters. Sagittarius wants to strike out on the next adventure, wants to go beyond, doesn't want to be responsible for the everyday things. Sagittarius is all about the bigger picture and what's going to happen next. And there can be impulsiveness with Sagittarian energy and a need to prove something. The ego gets pretty big with Sagittarius. And Pisces says, you don't need your ego. You don't need that. It's going to hold you back. And stop worrying about where you're going next and don't plan your next adventure. You know, we're exploring something much bigger here. So I want to call those out because, like I said, if you have those 3 highlighted in your chart, the Pisces stuff could be a struggle at times. And as we talked about earlier in the show, just honor that. You know, just honor that as part of your in-the-present emotional experience. I don't know what's happening, or I am a little scared, or I can't see what comes next. Just honor it. And again, trust, and connect to that high heart energy that will guide you through. And that is Pisces, the high heart. So let's start here by looking at the charts. And start with the 1st house, which is on the left side of your astrology chart. If you're looking at Blog Talk Radio, I put up a picture there where you can see every house. It goes 1, 2, 3, 4, and continues on counterclockwise. That's the easiest way to look at your astrology chart. If you have Pisces on your ascendant or rising sign and or going through your 1st house, parts of your self-identity are changing. Things are being removed for you, are being taken away, and that's so that something new and higher can come in. So you might feel that in terms of your energy could be low sometimes. You might just want to sleep and daydream. You might not want commitments. You could feel it as, you know, your physical appearance is changing and you might be feeling like you're absorbing more water or taking on more water. So know that your self-identity is evolving to a higher state. And a lot of trust is required. I'll be saying that as we go through all 12 astrological houses. A lot of trust is required. Something else that just came to my attention, sorry, I'm going to insert one other thing before I go to the second house, is that Pisces is one of the three water signs, okay? So we have Cancer, Scorpio, and Pisces. Those are the three water signs in the zodiac. But they each have different energetic signatures. They're different in what they represent and do with their water energy. Cancer. Cancer is concerned with immediate feelings. Scorpio is concerned with the deepest, darkest feelings. And Pisces connects to the big picture feelings. Okay, so that's how those three are different. Cancer is concerned with your immediate feelings, how you feel safe, how you feel nurtured, how you're taken care of, the security stuff. Scorpio is about going deep into more emotions, the passion, the stuff that is, you know, maybe your deepest fears and your biggest obsessions and your where you get your drive from. Scorpio energy is very deep, okay? It wants to take you places. And then Pisces is the big picture stuff that we've been talking about all show, which is the love, the compassion, the forgiveness, the understanding that everything's going to be great, just go with the flow. So that's how those three are different. And I want to make sure and call that out because with water signs, we can you know, kind of get confused about their significance. And I want to make sure that you know that so that everything we're talking about within each of now let's talk about the second house. If you have Pisces transiting the second house, if you have Pisces in the second house with planets transiting through the second house, this is where you are given the opportunity to connect with new levels of trust about how you feel financially secure in the world and where your self-worth comes from. If you place too much importance on things that you own, of your possessions, your property, what is moving through your second house is going to be taking away those things so that you can connect with your true worth and your true self-value that's above material possessions. It's going to also allow you to claim a higher level of self-worth if you make that choice. Understanding how divine you are, how perfect you are, how beautiful you are, regardless of what car you drive or the labels in your clothes. With the third house, what I feel very strongly about this energy is that if the Pisces planets show up strongly in your third house, you are opening up to greater connections with spirit, no doubt about it. Your communication with spirit can skyrocket, and you might feel drawn to new communication styles, more writing, more talking, more speaking, more healing, working with your neighbors, reaching out to people. There's something here where you're letting go of your mental, of your known mental process, and you're trusting more. You're trusting how you speak more. Then going into the fourth house, we're looking at where you came from, where you find security and nurturing, how you feel taken care of. This is also about feelings. The fourth house also relates to real estate. So just like with any house, it can show up in many ways depending on your chart. But with the Pisces energy in the fourth house, you know, you could be figuring out where your foundation is. Is it based in spirit? Is it based in somewhere else? You know, are you trusting? Are you trusting how you move through the world? It probably signifies some changes in how you experience your feelings. This also can relate to parents. So how you were nurtured or not nurtured, how you give and receive emotions, how you share yourself, how you feel safe in the world. All of that is requiring greater levels of trust and faith. And there's a go-with-the-flow feeling of it. You know, things will be changing, and you are always exactly where you need to be. Then we move into the fifth house. And the fifth house is going to amplify your creativity, how you give love, relationships. It could be taking away relationships that don't support your divine creative expression. Remember, Pisces energy is about letting go and letting things dissolve and transform and take away so that something better and more amazing can come in instead. So with the Pisces energy in your fifth house, there is a beautiful opportunity, probably many opportunities, for your spiritual passions and understanding to come through in your spirituality, to paint, to write, to cook, to play, to photography, anywhere you're drawn to express yourself, trust it. Go for it. It would be a wonderful way to allow the divine connections to come through you. Now, this can also show up in romantic relationships. You know, when I see Neptune or Pisces energy moving through the fifth house, you might not be seeing your partners clearly, your love relationships clearly. So just be aware of that. Make sure that you're seeing them for who they really are and you're not idealizing them. Now I move into the sixth house. The sixth house and Pisces energy have opposing energies, because the sixth house is ruled by Virgo. It's where we have our responsibilities, our physical health, our diet, hygiene. It's how we are of service to the world. And with Neptune and the Pisces energy very strongly in this part of your chart, you could be experiencing transitions and letting go of that. You could be going through some huge opportunities to trust and have faith that what you want to see isn't going to show up as you expect. Look to your body for answers. Pay attention to messages from your body, healing work, energy work, anything around taking care of your physical vessel is deeply supported at this time to move spiritual energy through you. The sixth house, you could have some disillusionment around your work. You might not be sure what you're supposed to do. Okay, what you're supposed to offer. I did a show a few weeks ago about why my sole purpose is your sole purpose, and I gave a bigger perspective of how your sole purpose is connected to what I do and connected to what everybody else does, simply because you're here. So if you're having some questions about your work, what you're supposed to do in the world, how you're supposed to be of service, that show might help you, but I also feel that you are getting insights from your dreams. So pay attention to your dreams and trust. Trust that you will know what to do when you need to do it and that information you need is going to show up, and you're probably being tested on letting go of your expectations, of your attachments, of knowing. So love yourself through that. Then we move up into the seventh house, and this is the transition point in your astrology chart. This is where you start to connect with other people's energies. And so each of these next seven houses is all relates to other people, and we start with the seventh house, which is about relationships, partnerships, cooperation, legalities, business relationships. With the Pisces energy in this chart, again, I would reference what I said for the fifth house, which is make sure you're seeing people for who they really are, that you're not idealizing them. When we idealize people, it's because we're projecting onto them something we're not seeing in ourselves. Are you seeing your partner as perfect or idealizing them in some way, but not seeing how perfect you are? Are you fantasizing or having idealistic visions of your partner that they can never fulfill, that they can never be, and therefore are you setting yourself up for a huge disappointment? So in the seventh house, we want to look at who is in our life, who we have commitments and agreements with, and if those are based on a common spiritual understanding and connection, there's strength there because that is what Pisces wants. Pisces wants to connect in that spiritual, metaphysical, other reality dimensions. Make sure those components are in alignment and you'll have greater fulfillment in those relationships. Also, make sure that you're sharing your spiritual self in those relationships. This is the house of give and take, and you want to make sure that you're sharing your full, amazing self in relationships. So look to see where you maybe aren't able to go there with certain people and to decide if those relationships are still right for you. You want to be your full spiritual self in a relationship for it to be satisfying and of the ultimate expression. So that's another thing with the seventh house is that you're sharing who you are. Then we go to the eighth house. This is where we have shared resources with other people. We explore sexuality, deep transformation, emotional depth, rituals, taboos, psychology. With Pisces going through here, you could experience some big spiritual awakenings. Your psychic abilities could open up. You might be connected to people or have experiences that open up these abilities, meaning you could go on some journeys or I'm feeling strongly that you could just be in a class or talking in conversation and you just find that you're going into deeper places of yourself because of other people. Maybe they trigger you. Maybe you realize a pattern about yourself and you think, why do I do that? What's that about? Well, let me look at the karma there. Let me check out the Akashic records. Let me dive deeper into that. And the eighth house really wants you to. You are encouraged to connect to that. Go with the flow, open up, trust, and enjoy the experience of knowing who you are in deeper ways. Okay, now we move to the ninth house, and this is about adventure, travel, the higher perspective, the higher understanding of something, the search for meaning, philosophy, internationalism, religion. There's a lot of the broad umbrella terms of life here in the ninth house. If Pisces energy is strong for you in the ninth house, you will probably have some amazing spiritual experiences when you travel. When you study, when you connect with other cultures, when you explore religion, that could be something very important to you is looking at the difference between spirituality and religion. You could be looking at other belief systems, evaluating and understanding them on new levels. There's also some fun with the ninth house, and you want to get out there and study and see something and expand your mind, expand your life experience, and the spiritual pursuits will do that for you. So take the class that you're drawn to, follow that exploration that you want to take. Maybe it's not a physical exploration. Maybe you're just exploring online and discovering all kinds of new spiritual information. That is a very strong possibility here with the Pisces energy, and you're going to get some new understandings about yourself and the broader perspectives of the world and the galaxy. Now I move into the 10th house, and with Pisces transiting here, you could be changing your career. You could be having some uncertainty about where to direct your professional endeavors, about what to do. How do I offer myself to society? How do I demonstrate my authority? With the Pisces energy in the 10th house, you are connected innately to doing something for the best and highest good for all. So please follow those threads. Follow where you are sharing yourself, your high vibe energy, your awesomeness, your skills, everything about you in a way that benefits others. It could be, there's just so many ways this can show up, but follow what you are drawn to and, connecting with other networking groups or how you can train and become more of a authority in a certain healing role or what makes you feel on top of the world in terms of your spiritual offerings. This is all about purpose and career, and Pisces here can make things foggy It could be that most of your life you're like, I don't even know what I'm here to do or what I'm here to offer. When I see Pisces in the 10th house, it tells me that something about your career needs to incorporate your spiritual interests, metaphysical studies, a variety of things. It depends on your chart, but just incorporate that. Your career and your spiritual talents are connected, and they are something you are meant to offer to society, to humanity on a broader scale. So just follow the breadcrumbs with that. Then we go to the 11th house, and this is about the ways we give back to society in terms of activism, charities, associations, group activities, friendships, social relationships. This is where you might experience some friendships changing. With Pisces in the 11th house and all these planets that were just there, there could be an insurgence of friendships changing, shifting, being complete, because there's a part of your evolution that is complete. Same is true for groups, associations, communities that you're associated with. You could also find that some of your dreams are ending and you're ready for a new dream, the new bigger wishes and hopes and what can I do next that will inspire me and lift me up. There could be a big letting go of what you thought would happen and did not, but that's because something better is coming. Something better is going to show up. So connect to that as you're moving through these transitions and make your spiritual life a part of these new dreams, of these new connections, of these new wishes and goals. Your spiritual self needs to be involved or else it's not going to stick. Things are just going to continue to fall away. You have to make sure that that is a part of what you're doing. And then we move into the 12th house. And this is a house that Pisces loves because it's its own home. And this is where spirituality really comes into focus, but it's also where we can keep things hidden, keep things private. We want to be alone or in solitude. There's a component here where there could be a review process where you just need to look back at your journey or look back at everything you've done and see, you know, how far you've come and what's next. You know, what's next on your spiritual agenda? What do you want to learn about next? What do you want to do in private or keep to yourself? What is most sacred to you? And what you want to do is connect the highest energies of those to what is good for all and know that your spiritual work, your meditations, your dreams, everything that you're receiving now is connected to everyone else and the highest good for all. So this is where you want to focus on meditation and maybe trying different techniques, or you want to really pay attention to your dreams and the information that's coming through. Your subconscious is alive with Pisces in the 12th house and this new influx of energy that just came in. So honor those messages. Pay attention to spiritual communications. Look at where you are changing internally and how that is shifting your experience of who you are, because you're new now. That's what we're doing this time on the planet, is we're shifting and shaping new experiences for ourselves that involve our spiritual selves in new, higher ways. It's that big. It's that big, and it's that exciting. So the show is almost over. We've covered a ton today. I'm so grateful for your presence, for all this information. I hope you enjoyed it. Please let me know if you have any questions or want more information. I feel like I'll be doing a follow-up show to this one, so we'll see how that comes up. As always, thank you for being here, my friends. I'll see you next week. And please feel free to check out some of the archive shows to see if any of those can help you at this time. Thank you so much for being here. Namaste. See you next week.
Moment, I just feel so alive, alive. alive. I'm saying I can.